Sabbath. Help us this morning to find rest in you. As you may hear, I am resting my voice today. I was sick this week with a bad cough, and it has left me voiceless. As such, doing a normal sermon today was not in the cards. So on our topic of the Sabbath today, we're going to have a sharing sermon as we've done before, and I hope that you will come ready with your stories to help move that along. And as I am already running out of steam even whispering, I will turn it over to Barry, who will read the introduction to our sharing time and the questions that I've written. And I will be coming around with the microphone. I encourage you all to share freely with little pressure. You don't need to have big theological insights. Today's a day for stories about our own lives. Barry.
Good morning again. I can imagine the frustration of a job where you need to speak and you can't speak. I've been in many speaking roles, and I've often wondered what it would be like to have a speechwriter. This may be about as close as I'll ever get to having a speechwriter as I read the questions that Nathan has prepared for us. It occurs to me also that Nathan, as interim pastor, his mother-in-law, Mark in our congregation, Charlene, others have had jobs that involve being paid to work on Sunday. And I'd be interested to hear how people in those kinds of situations make time and respect the Sabbath, perhaps by choosing a different way of the week, different day of the week. So Nathan's introduction to the sharing time this morning is as follows. Today we have been invited by the scriptures to think about the Sabbath. Instead of hearing a normal sermon about these verses, we will be sharing stories from our own lives. As you think of which stories to share, there are two aspects of the Sabbath to consider. The first looks at the Sabbath as a practice of rest and retreat, ways you have found to pull back from daily life to encounter stillness, quietness, or even special activities. These can be regular practices you do or have done, or they can be one-time experiences, and they don't have to happen on Sunday. The second aspect of the Sabbath is that of communal practice or rules. Our scriptures today show Jesus expressing the importance of following the spirit of the Jewish Sabbath, while also challenging the particularity and strictness of the Pharisees' approach to the Sabbath rules. We will take time to address each of these aspects, and we welcome stories that address either or both at any time. I will offer some questions that Nathan has prepared and prompts to help you remember or share your story, but feel free to share your stories as you feel led to do so. Don't feel that your story has to match up with the last prompt or question. If you think the previous question has something you'd like to respond to, feel free. This is a time of open reflection and sharing about the Sabbath. Every story, including yours, has value to the congregation and will be honored and respected. So let me ask a question of my own. How many of you have ever felt the busyness of daily life? You should all raise your hands, I would think. So there's lots to go from here in answering these questions. What are some ways that you have found for you to retreat from the busyness of daily life? Think about that. What are ways that you have found to retreat from that busyness that we've all acknowledged we experience? And then as a follow-up to that, what is the value of these Sabbath moments or practices for you? Who'd like to share a way that you have found to retreat from the busyness of daily life and share about how that has been valuable, provided special moments for you? Anyone? Nathan will come around with the microphone.
Well, We find that we have to get out of our house a lot to get rest, kind of as a family. So it means going somewhere for the weekend. And I was last weekend we went camping. Huck, do you want to say anything about camping last week? Was it restful? You're not sure if it was restful? No.
It was really cold.
But yeah, I think we find getting away, and you know, we went to Snow Mountain Ranch and we played games in the library and we play putt-putt and just, you know, do things that are, yeah, not work. So
now being home implies the normal busyness, and being able to get away separates you from that.
And the importance of play.
I find that playing the piano, I'm not a professional, but I enjoy playing the piano, and that relaxes me. It's also mentally stressing in some ways to get the notes, you know. But really, when I play the hymns, I know, and I love them. I think of the words and how wonderful they are and how wonderful God is through all this.
Well, being retired, I have the luxury of reading until I get very sleepy and then take as long of a nap as I want to take. But sometimes I still haven't gotten over feeling guilty about doing that, about taking the rest. When I grew up on the farm, it felt like you always had so much work to do before you could do something luxurious.
So you feel that guilt even on a Sunday, taking a rest? Because on a farm, Sunday was also a day for work?
It was similar to what Brenda explained. You know, you went to church and FOSPA, but then, of course, the women were working to do all that, but have the big family dinner.
Okay, first of all, I have to speak for all the people who might not be as culturally Mennonite. What in the world is FOSPA? Anybody want to tell me? Because I really don't know. Yeah?
It's an early Sunday evening meal. Or a very light meal.
Oh. Yeah, interesting. Can be any day. Thank
what was
you.
That? What was that last word? Oh, any day. Okay.
And I'm going to sit down because this seems more appropriate. Sunday has been, for me, a day to push the reset button. And it feels kind of like a chiropractor visit, too. So, I am always working. I have been. I'm retired. This is my first week. Have always been working as a teacher, which means you never stop thinking about how you're going to teach kids things, and then my work as a mother, which seemed to go on all the time. And it seemed like, even though I didn't forget God during the week, like things could get out of whack, like just like your back can get out of whack. And Sunday was a good time to kind of get reset and straightened back up again or whatever, things back in place, ready for the week.
I'm going to tell a farming story as well. So when I was helping my father during the summers, milking cattle, or cows specifically, we would always take, I guess I would call it a micro Sabbath, immediately following the morning chores. And it was almost ritualistic. It was always the same thing. We would both kind of walk back in, and then we would promptly jump in the truck and drive to the corner. The corner was just like the little gas station, like literally the only thing within 5 minutes. We would buy the biggest pop can you possibly could. It was 44 ounces, which is disastrous in retrospect. But you would come back and it would be the heat of the summer and you would just drink that the rest of the day. And it was the most fantastic liquid I ever drank. And that was just like, you know, and just like, there's something about that first sip and it's just so refreshing. And you just kind of sit out on the in the lawn for a little while and relax, and it's wonderful.
Just in terms of rest, something that I've noticed is like one person's rest can be another person's work, right? And especially with young kids, with me working during the week and, you know, little things like changing diapers and just chasing the kids around, that's something that really can rejuvenate me, where Holly can, you know, disengage from that to some extent. So the other time when I noticed that was living up in Glenwood Springs, and we were connected with a community supported agriculture up there, and every Wednesday I would go and work, and I just remember that had such a balancing effect, because the rest of my life I was working with kids with mental health problems, and so just that what brings rest and balance isn't always inactivity, you know. So.
Some of you have already started in this direction, but if there are specific times or a specific moment or experience that you had that was a Sabbath for you, you might share about that and what impact it had on you. A specific moment or experience.
When I was 18 in PAX and in Germany and in Greece the first Sunday, and went to church, and all the incense was filled in the building, and people were going forth with a plate and getting it blessed by the priest. And after church, we took it to the grave and set it on top of the grave. And it basically was a whole different idea for me. It was worthless until I discovered what it meant to the thousands of people that did it that particular day.
Well, ever since I was young, my dad would say random acts of kindness. And women always came first.
Good rules and guidelines to follow.
I have good memories of the Sabbath of Sunday growing up. There were eight in our family, and on Sundays we all went to church, and we drove past several Mennonite churches until we came to the right one. And that was the Mennonite Brethren, and so on and so on. But I have good memories of going to church. We always went on Sunday mornings unless you were ill.
I'm glad you all came to the right Mennonite church this morning.
Well, growing up, I think when Brenda commented about her experiences, that was very similar to mine. I think we always looked forward to Sunday as a day of rest because we were, we had farm animals and and other duties, and it was just understood that you didn't work on Sunday. And even in college, I followed the harvest with custom combining, and it happened that I worked for a General Conference Mennonite family, and we never, ever cut wheat on Sunday. That was just not the thing. And there were other custom cutters that would cut on Sunday. And I think a lot of that has changed now with more faster and better farm equipment and combines and so on. But we would always go to church on Sunday, even the harvest, you know, the harvest crew was expected to go to church with the family, with the our boss and his family. And I just, we always look forward to that Sunday afternoon rest, and I guess that's the way we still believe that, you know, it's a day of rest. Did you want to say something?
Well, one observation is it kind of strikes me different growing up here in the city or in the suburbs versus a lot of you who grew up more in rural areas, what it means to observe the Sabbath. And I think for me, growing up in an urban area, some of the characteristics of Sunday, of the Sabbath, were things like it was the one and only time we would go and eat out. So, you know, you wouldn't need to prepare a meal after church. And oftentimes, maybe it was even just at McDonald's or Burger King, but that was a treat. Another thing is a Sunday afternoon nap, which is always welcome. And then having popcorn or not a full dinner. We never called it a fafsa. I can't even say it. But having you know, something simple like popcorn in the evenings on Sunday evening. But one story about the Sabbath that we always laugh about in our family, it has to do with my grandparents, my mom's parents, who were strict observers of the Sabbath and were very much in rural Missouri agriculture. And my mom's first cousin, who lived very close by to my grandparents with her family, one Sunday was doing a load of laundry on Sunday and saw my grandmother coming up unannounced up the driveway. And so Rosemary, my mom's cousin, told her daughter, Carla, who must have been, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old, to run down and turn off the washing machine in the middle of the load and throw all the laundry into the closet before Aunt Iona would see that she was doing laundry on the Sabbath. So we always laugh about that.
That could be a question Nathan didn't ask, but how many families have had rules and then got caught breaking them and had to do something to conceal something?
Well, the funny thing was that we didn't know that. Our family did not know that had happened until about a year ago when Carla, Jeff's age, came out on a business trip, and she was telling how Aunt Iona and Uncle Wilbur surprised them so much that one Sunday came unannounced, and they had to throw the wet laundry into the closet that had already been washed. So that was just one of our recent family jokes. But in growing up in rural Missouri on a farm, we look forward to Sunday because we went to church, which meant that we got to see some other people for a change. And we also had a fairly big dinner at noon, which was nice. But to prepare for the Sabbath, Dad and Mom always studied their Sunday school lesson on Saturday night. We had to polish our shoes on Saturday night. We had to cut celery for some reason to be ready for the rest of the week. We had to wash the car to have it clean for Sunday. And Mom would always make two cherry pies on Saturday, and we would eat them both in two meals. So cherry pie and cake and cutting celery and washing car and polishing shoes and studying for Sunday school lessons were all in preparation for a restful Sabbath. However, if we get together, when we got together with our cousins, the men would always sit around talking about farm and animals, and then they'd get up and take a drive into the country to see how everybody's crops were doing.
When I got in the car go ahead, Art, right behind you there.
I find it interesting that one of the things I've learned is we in the West tend to take credit for our ability to have this Sabbath and so on. And I don't know where, if Andy remembers this, Andy and Emily, in your time in China, but in our time in China, it was really striking that, I mean, here's what we would say is a non Christian society and took the Sabbath much more seriously than we did, and had nothing to do with religion. It had completely to do with mental health and family and togetherness and true rest and so on. I don't know if that was your experience, Andy, but every Sunday it was more about that, right? How do I improve my mental health from this rest? And so I always found that to be kind of interesting.
Let's make that the final question. How has Sabbath been a way of recharging? I really liked Debbie's metaphor this morning of the batteries that get used up and thrown out versus trying to recharge them. I actually was traveling and was trying to arrange a time to go visit someone on Lookout Mountain to go on a hike with him, and suggested doing it this afternoon. And he made it really clear to me that his wife would have no such thing as going out and doing something like that on Sunday. So I ended up spending over an hour on their deck yesterday visiting with them. And it turns out, actually, that he is a very strict atheist, and she has no Christian or church involvement, but senses kind of a nature-based spirituality. Much different than what I expected when they told me they had a strict rule about Sunday being, they didn't use the word Sabbath, but being a day of rest and recharging. So even from a non-Christian perspective, the need to recharge. How has that been expressed in your lives? How has Sabbath been a time of recharging so you're ready for the week?
There's much that from my childhood that would echo things that have been said. Raised on a farm, I'm the eighth of 10 children, and it was a very small farmhouse. So whenever the weather was warm enough, a part of what Sunday afternoon offered was the opportunity to ride bike as many miles as I could possibly go and get as far away as I possibly could, or find myself wandering through the pastures, lying on the hillside and making up stories about the clouds. Sunday afternoons, we spent Saturday cleaning the house and getting everything ready for Sunday, shining shoes and everything. Sunday morning was involvement in the church. Sunday afternoon, we popped in on people in the neighborhood, whether they were a part of the church or whether they were relatives. It was a time to reconnect with people, to visit, and you didn't have to call and make an appointment. You just showed up, and it was common and expected for people to do that. So Sunday was set apart, and it was different from other days of the week. And yet, if there was something that happened with the animals on the farm, that always took priority. It always took precedence over whatever else was planned for the day. As an adult, I moved and I've lived primarily in the city settings, and for the last 20 plus years, I've worked as a chaplain, and my schedule has included working on Sundays. Additionally, Duncan, as a pastor, worked on Sundays. And so my pattern of spiritual health has been to recognize the importance of daily Sabbath. I like to bookend my days, doing something in the morning, which has usually to do with a form of contemplative prayer, and something reflective in the evening about how the day has been, to just set aside moments to recognize the day as it has been, and to get my body to be able to be ready for sleep at night. So I haven't necessarily had a day that I could take during the week, but finding ways within the day to take Sabbath time. But a very important moment for me was when we lived in New York City, and I had the fortune of working at the New York Botanic Gardens, and I had not realized how deeply my spirit is nourished by working with plants and the land, even though I had grown up on a farm, until I found myself literally in the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses. And
I realized how deeply I am connected with a relationship with the land and plants. So I have, as a part of the rhythm of my life, yes, it's gardening, but it's gardening with a purpose. It's gardening because this is soul work, and it's very meaningful. That old hymn took on a whole new meaning when I realized I was living that. And I'll be honest, being bi and tri, and at moments I'm quad vocational these days, having a rhythm of Sabbath, and I know the importance of it, I don't get it every week. And I feel it when I don't. So.
Well, thank you all for your sharing this morning. I'll offer a kind of a final thought, and then I know Nathan also has one as well. But it strikes me in some of the sharing, both from the farm setting that many of us grew up on, and even here in the city setting, the combination between the idea of Sabbath and community. This is the day, this is the time when we see most of our friends that are part of this congregation. And so, on Sundays on the farm, it was a day you might see other friends as well. So I think it's an interesting way to reflect that community is part of what also rejuvenates us and nourishes us. And so taking time for this worship time and for this Sabbath during the week is important and appreciated to be a part of this group. So thanks, Nathan, for this, and have you had a final word or not?
Thank you so much for sharing your stories with each other. I certainly will be thinking of Lita the next time I'm chopping celery. And I think maybe we should start a new tradition of unannounced social calls. What do you think? No, I just want to say a very brief prayer to close our sharing time. Dear Lord, thank you for this community. Thank you for this Sabbath day when we could come together and connect with one another, to separate from the busyness of our lives, to be with you and to be with each other. We thank you for the traditions that have been handed down to us and for the ways in which we can change and adapt them to our own lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
For a hymn of response, could you please turn to number 145? I'd like to point out the lyric of the last verse. When we get to that verse, please take special note of those lyrics. I think it's really appropriate to what we're talking about here today.
Mercy, like the whiteness of the